I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Just a quick follow-up from the beginning of the show, because I started after a guy by the name of Joe Tyler sent me, or he tagged me in a video from Soulard this morning, where he's crossing right at the intersection of, let me see, because this is on, it is Russell and, yeah, what'd you say, Sue? It's Russell and
12.
Russell and 12, thank you. I couldn't read it, even with my reading glasses on. But what I forgot to mention when I was talking about that is what Joe said in his tweet. He said, I'm the one in the wheelchair and a car, I don't know if I mentioned this, I think I did, without plates plowed into me. So this is a car that doesn't have tags or plates, and that tells you something right there. His response was, why are plates no longer a requirement? Well, they're just not. And if there's no plates, they have a tag that's expired for maybe 2 or 3 years, and there's no effort to crack down on that because that's an edict from the mayor and the police department. So it's rather sad. Paul Morrow's coming up in the next hour after Sue's news from Fox News. We have David Strom is also great from Hot Air. He'll be on in the 5 o'clock hour. I mentioned Robert Bryce as well. And then tomorrow we got a big roundtable. Look, I was thinking about this, Sue. There's only 3 more roundtables, maybe only 2 for me because I'm off next weekend, and then the election is here. Now, we were getting reaction here, talking about some of the things that happened last night. She got a little angry elf, as I like to say.
May I finish responding, please? But you have to let me finish, please. I'm in the middle of responding to the point you're raising, and I'd like to finish. Yes. But let me just finish.
Ooh, she did get a little testy there. Dwayne Patterson is back with us. He contributes at hotair.com. He also is the host of the Dwayne's World podcast. How are you, Mr. Patterson, this afternoon?
Oh, greetings from Team Optimism. I was in a really good mood when I woke up and got the note from Fred that you guys wanted me on today. And then, of course, I hear your promo that Strom's coming up from Hot Air. So now
Strom.
I don't even feel special anymore.
Oh, I love David, though. He's great. He's been writing about some really interesting stuff we'll get to a little bit later. But look, I think what I said at the monologue here, and I read what you wrote this morning, I don't think it was quite the train wreck or disaster that some people are portraying it. Don't get me wrong, Dwayne. Didn't think it was very good on the part of the vice president. I think Brett did great. He did his job. He needed to ask some of those questions. The one miss that I highlighted yesterday, I don't think I mentioned this today, is he gets the trans issue in there right away, but doesn't follow up on the, you know, should biological men play against women in sports? I would have liked to have seen that. Overall, I don't fault Brett Baer. He did his job, and she was kind of what I expected, I think.
I guess to me, the filter I was looking at that interview through is, who was her target audience? If you go to Brian Fallon, who was Hillary Clinton's old campaign guru, Brian Fallon said online that the target was to try to peel off independents and Nikki Haley voters,
right.
Nikki Haley primary Republicans. That's who she was trying to pick off. So you have to ask yourself, did she do that? Did she accomplish that?
No.
If you're a Nikki Haley voter and you're now faced with holding your nose and voting for Trump that you don't like very much, or going for Kamala Harris, did Kamala Harris give you a reason to vote for her?
No, I don't think she did. And I'm still a little confused as to why she did it, although I think it does indicate some concern in states like Michigan, Wisconsin, and maybe Pennsylvania. So, no, I don't think she flipped any voters. You know, I had Kilmeade on yesterday, and one of the things that he said, and there might have been something to this, and you're hearing it in the, you know, the talking points from the left. She wanted to go on there and portray, you know, confidence, if you will. And maybe part of the angry elf was part of her mission, just because she knew it would play well with her side, because it's Fox News. Let's face it. They can say anything they want about Brett and Fox News. You already have Stelter out there, which is hilarious, saying, you know, she was basically interviewed by a surrogate of Trump. No, she was interviewed by someone who decided to ask actual questions, right?
Well, absolutely. And this whole thing about trying to project confidence, everybody on the left, as soon as the interview was over with, treated Twitter or X like it was an online spin room after a debate, right? Oh, we won. Brett was totally unprepared. Oh, she did great. She did marvelous. She did fantastic. Well, that lasted about 12 hours. And then this morning, I don't know if you caught The View this morning. Few people do because
yeah,
it's really kind
I played of, one clip already from The View. Oh, yeah. Well, he's
so
a fascist.
So Sunny Hostin says that Dana Perino, of all people, Dana Perino is the sweetest woman on the planet, right? Dana Perino is racist for daring to criticize the performance of Kamala Harris. Sarah Haynes said that Bret Baier is sexist because he didn't let her filibuster enough. So, and the capper over on CNN, Van Jones is on. And Van's actually made a point or two that I kind of agree with. I don't agree with his politics.
Every once in a while.
Analysis, yeah, an acorn and a blind squirrel. He'll find one.
Well, and he did. He called it right after the first Biden debate. I mean, I think a lot of us were watching that night, and he was honest at least about that. I didn't hear what he said last night.
So, well, this wasn't last night. This was this morning. This morning, he said that Bret Baier is fundamentally no different than Rachel Maddow is on MSNBC.
Okay, that's ridiculous. That is an unwillingness. He's never watched Bret Baier. There is no way you can watch Bret. Bret Baier is so different than anybody else on Fox or on CNN because, again, he does a straight news hour.
Absolutely he does. And so, but my whole point is, for this whole bravado of she can go into harm's way and she's got all the strength and she's confident and she's this, she's that. Now, all of a sudden, that lasted for about 12 hours, and everybody on the left is trying to whataboutism and try to justify why it was a disaster.
Well, that's probably there's a lot to that. And let's kind of push forward to what's going to happen here in a couple of weeks. And you checked in from what did you say? Department Optimism.
Team Optimism.
Yeah. Team Optimism has been a lot more optimistic than me because I'm the glass half empty guy. But here's what I would say, Dwayne, going back to mid-August when you had to talk me off the ledge, you know, it was right around the time of the convention. Things looked good for Kamala. The mainstream media was not doing their job. They still aren't. Things were trending well. The polling looked good. You get through September. I know you were still kind of spiking the ball mid-September. But I will say, maybe this is a bad thing because I call these things wrong. It does seem like he's closing strong. It seems like the polling is really freaking out the Democrats because they're not cracking through at levels that they need to. And she can certainly still win this election with a 2 percentage point, maybe 2.5-3 percentage point lead nationally. That's not going to get her the White House electorally.
Absolutely not. And my whole point in all this was I didn't want the media to try to discourage Republicans from voting, to try to project this aura that she's invincible, it's inevitable that she's going to win, we're finally going to have the first female president, you might as well sit this one out, this is going to happen, it's our time. And it's nonsense. It's not going to happen. Donald Trump is 10, he's 11 points better than he was in approval index. Over at Real Clear Politics, they've got all sorts of great data that they update on a daily basis. And one of the things that I have focused on above all else is they have an approval index. And the approval index is the candidate on the Republican side, in this case Trump, his approval versus his minus his disapproval. And you compare that to whoever he's running against, whether it was Joe Biden at the time or whether it's Kamala Harris now. In 2020, going into the final week of the election, Joe Biden had a 17.8% lead on personal approval over Donald Trump. Now, how did that manifest itself? Donald Trump generated 74.5 million votes, roughly, for him for president in 2020, which would have, in other normal universe, been an all-time record, were it not for his unfavorability also generating 81 million votes against him. And that was the final margin. This time around, Kamala Harris is, according to the averages, still up by about 7% in favorability over Donald Trump. But he's 11 points better. The engine, if you will, for the anti-Trump turnout model is just not there in the same strength this time. And to put a capstone on that, not even included yet in the Real Clear Politics averages, Fox News' poll that they released over the weekend, which showed Trump with a 1 or 2 point national lead, his approval number in that, he's only off 2 points to Kamala Harris. They've got the same approval. He has 2 points more disapproval than she does, but they've got it within two now. And Steve Kornacki over on NBC, when NBC released their polling on Meet the Press over the weekend, they have it as a straight up tie on approval.
Right.
So if that's the case, if Donald Trump is just as either popular or unpopular, choose your word, as Kamala Harris is, and that's really a straight up metric, you can't point to me that you're going to have an 81 million vote turnout against Donald Trump this time.
No, I think that's sound math and reasoning. And if you even look at where they are, I think you and I have even talked about this. They do the This Day in History, October 17th. The national polling right now, in 2016, Hillary Clinton was up 7 points. In 2020, Biden was up 9 points. This time, Harris is up 1.5. If she doesn't grow that...
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
She's going to lose.
And tell me what is out there in the next 2 weeks for her to change the narrative and start putting a string together. Yahya Sinwar got whacked overnight, and she was forced to do a hostage video today saying,
"Oh, I saw that.
Well, yeah, he's dead. I guess that's a good thing, and I'm sure glad we helped." Who's the we, Kamala? I mean, it's just insane what she's trying to come out with.
Yeah, they put her up there to try, you know, to make her look presidential. And by the way, did you hear Biden today?
I did.
So we're letting him off the hook, you know, because he's out the door. But listen to this.
We gave Medicare the power to cancer drugs. Excuse me.
We ain't going back.
She beat Trump so badly in the debate, he's scared to death to beat her again.
Dwayne, we ain't going back there. Just that's what Uncle Joe says. Wow. It's time, isn't it?
It's not happening this time. And honestly, you can see it in the faces. You can hear it in the voices of the pundits. Everybody on the left is trying to put a happy face and try to stem the tide a little bit. But they know it's not happening. They know it's not happening. You saw if we could only lip sync or read what was going on, lip read what was going on at Ethel Kennedy's memorial service. You saw Barack Obama talking to Joe Biden and giving him an earful. Right. If only we could be a fly on the wall in that room. But
that would be fascinating. Hey, did you hear? I played this a little bit today and yesterday. Did you hear the Halperin cuts from Tucker's podcast?
It is hysterical that you're bringing this up. I bet I know which parts you're talking about. Are you talking about what happens next?
Well, he was talking about how we're going to have the biggest mental health crisis, you know, if Trump wins. Now, look, what I said is I think it's a little hyperbolic. On the other hand, I think he's onto something just because the TDS level is so high.
He could. I hope he's hyperbolic. But here's the problem. And I wrote this at Hot Air before the primaries even got going. This goes way back. I've had this opinion for a while. My concern was not always the election, but for what happens next. Because here's the thing. If you are somebody who gets their news from MSNBC and or CNN, and all you are fed 24/7 is that Trump's election threatens the very existence of the republic itself.
Right.
Democracy itself is on the line. If you truly believe that, and that is what your inner fear is, then what lengths will you not go to make sure that doesn't happen?
And well, that's
if
right.
Trump wins, people are going to lose their, they're just going to lose their.
Dwayne, I think they are. I think it could. That's where I think that Halperin might be onto something there. We're out of time. We're going to visit one more time before this election in a couple weeks. How does that sound?
I look forward to it as always.
Thank you.
I'm always here, happy to represent Team Optimism.
And we need that. We need more optimism. Dwayne Patterson, we'll have you back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.